Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, we are going to put this to bed right now. Look at me wagging my finger like I'm your parent or some kind of teacher. In fact, now I have authority. Can we please stop from going enjoying something like AEW All Out, which was absolutely brilliant, to going, WWE, Raw, rubbish, crap. Just enjoy it or don't enjoy it and allow others to enjoy it and not enjoy it. It really is that simple. Positivity, yeah. But my name is Simon Miller. These glasses don't have any lenses. Look, I can just put my hands into my eyes, but why would I do that? It would be strange. Also, Seth Rollins may be around here, and we know how he feels about seeing devices. And welcome, yes, to a brand new week here on What Culture Wrestling, as we look into Raw and decide whether it was good or whether it was a pile of crap. We also somehow have to award the MVP of last week. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to give it to Daniel Bryan. But you can give it to CM Punk. You can give it to Adam Cole. You can give it to the Young Bucks. You can give it to the Lucha Brothers. They all smashed it. And I've forgotten a bunch of other people too. I'm giving it to Daniel Bryan because he's great. Anyway, let's get on to things that are more pertinent for today. And let's up those downs for Raw. The most late 80s start to Raw this week, and I loved it. But given we were going to have a tag team turmoil later to decide who were the brand new number one contenders for the tag team championships, every single team in that there tag team turmoil jumped on the screen like I'm doing now with this over-the-top music and said things like, oh, we're in the tag team turmoil later, and it's going to be turmoil because we're a tag team. And yes, this was absolutely crazy and ridiculous, but I like crazy and ridiculous, and better than all of that, it felt different, it felt new, it felt fresh. At this juncture, I was like, oh man, maybe WWE's gonna do something different. I'll talk about that in 1 second. However, this up. And yeah, one of the reasons I did want to give that an up is because this did indeed feel like a little bit something different. But then out came RK-Bro to do the usual 20-minute long promo segment. And I was like, look, I love Randy Orton, I love Riddle. They are the best thing about this show. But this is exactly the same as what we did last week. You can then double this too, because after RK-Bro had said, oh my gosh, all those tag teams, the tag team turmoil, this is tumultuous, out came MVP and Bobby Lashley, and they got a microphone. They said, oh my gosh, tag team turmoil, we want to go into it too. And if you're wondering why I'm saying tag team turmoil so much, just go and watch Raw. It was like the word turmoil was in their mouth and they couldn't help it. The other long and the short part of this is that Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley are going to fight for the WWE title at Extreme Rules, and that just makes me scratch my bald head because, yes, I really like Randy Orton, I really like Bobby Lashley, but if we have just made Randy Orton a tag team champion, shouldn't he be more concerned about that belt? Because as soon as you go after another one, what you're doing is you're taking down your pants. And what happens down there in your pants when you go to the toilet is what you are figuratively, not literally, figuratively doing to the tag team division. Lashley couldn't believe any of this happened when he said, right, me and MVP are going to be in the tag team turmoil, and we'll get to that later again, like I say. But then the New Day interrupted, because the tag team turmoil was about to start now. Also, the New Day's new gear is absolutely brilliant, so this was just like an assault on your face. It was like, ah, I don't know what's going on. It gets even more silly. Point is, all of that is getting it down. It was then time to do this thing, and look, it was fun, it was fine, it was entertaining, especially because we started with the New Days versus the Viking Raiders. That is always going to get it up. It got some solid time. At one point, the Vikings caught Kofi in midair and chucked him into Xavier Woods, and I'm always going to be behind that. And as we have mentioned his name, everybody stand up and salute Mr. Woods for being the damn flipping hero that he is. Because he watches the show, and he studies wrestling, and as he has said on that there Twitter time and time again, I am going to make the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll up, my finishing move, because I see its win ratio. I tell you, my word, did he do it here. So when he did indeed see Eric get smashed by the Trouble in Paradise, he hit a surprise roll-up. He then did the same on Jinder Mahal and Veer. He then did the same on the Lucha House Party. And he then did the same on Retribution. I think one of those, he didn't actually use the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But I've chosen to ignore that because I was having such a rollicking good time. WWE then very sadly had to go WWE because as soon as Mason T-Bar had lost, they were like, well, we didn't want to lose. We wanted to win. So now we're just going to beat everybody up, including Mansoor and Ali, who are about to get in there. Until Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville walked out and went, this wasn't part of our plan. So why don't we carry on later with ... Bobby Lashley and MVP. And I was just like, why didn't we just finish it here? Why are we splitting it up? It's just a little bit dull. You have such a big roster. Go and do anything else with somebody that you see backstage. Even if it's the janitor. Go, look, janitor, Fred. We'll call him Fred. Fred the janitor. Would you please walk to the ring and cut a promo? I was about to say, on whatever you want. That's not true. They'd probably give him a script to be like, I'm the janitor. I'm blah, blah, blah. You take my point down. It was then more nonsense. It was Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus to see who was going to be the number one contender for the United States Championship. Even though Drew McIntyre and Sheamus had fought for the United States Championship last week. And both technically lost. However, they're so damn good together. They have such good chemistry. Of course, it's getting it up. I think it's also becoming super clear that Drew may be about to jump to SmackDown in the draft because for the second week running, he lost clean. And usually what WWE does is they see this kind of a jump as, oh man, we can just hit the reset button when they do go to their new show. So in the meantime, we can just beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him. And don't forget, that's okay too. Go and look at real sports. Sometimes even the most successful teams are defeated. And honestly, they were just punching potatoes out of each other here. It was so damn violent. It was so damn brutal. But my word, did I enjoy it. I laughed out loud when Drew McIntyre just decided, I don't care you're wearing a face mask, Sheamus. And he gave him a headbutt. And I was like, oh, my head. I was like, what did you think was going to happen? And there was this really cool bit where Sheamus was going to hit a claymore. And Drew was like, no, you don't do that. It's my move. And he hit him with a DDT. McIntyre also went for a flying nothing, missed obviously, and then got kneed in the face. And I was really getting into this until Drew went for the claymore. Sheamus too got out the way and hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment with a surprise roll up. And he held the trunks to not only get the 1-2-3, but to become the number one contender for the US title. At that point, I think my face fell off my face because you just have to assume that whoever is writing this WWE stuff isn't talking to everybody else. Maybe we get one script, then two script, then three script, then four script, which kind of makes up sections of the program, but 1, 2, 3, and 4 don't actually correlate to see if we're doing the same thing. If you've got Xavier Woods busting out roll-up after roll-up after roll-up, don't end the next match with a roll-up. There's nothing wrong with this finish. I want to make that clear. People get this confused all the time when I'm talking about it. It's like anything. Just don't overuse it or use it as a crutch, which WWE does all the time, down. It was kind of interesting afterwards because McIntyre had super duper sour grapes here and he kicked the shib out of Sheamus. He did just say, I can't believe I lost. I'm going to pull my controller out of the snares. Now, I doubt he's about to go heel, but he did look really pissed off. Quick interview with Damian Priest after this, which made sense. He's very excited about fighting Sheamus at Extreme Rules and he thinks he's going to win. Between you and me, this sounded like somebody had given him a piece of paper. We really should let Damian Priest just talk. We then got exactly the same thing with Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. Honestly, I swear, some of the verbiage coming out of their mouth didn't make any kind of a sense. And they are now, I think, an official tag team. And if you ask me why, I'd be like, I don't know. But I do like them together, so there. They are going to take on Natalya and Tamina later. Hopefully they know that nobody is Mina. And of course, they have a new catchphrase, because everything has to be marketed. So when they were done here, Nikki A.S.H. just shouted, Super Brutality! And I was like, wait, no, that's not correct at all. It should be Almost Superhero Brutality. What do I know? We then had a third promo, which was a little bit much, and this time it was Charlotte Flair addressing the fact she's going to take on Nia Jax later. And she said, I'm going to make Nia kiss the ground that I walk on. That's a really funny thing to say. We were then right into that tag match, and I couldn't help it, because my brain all of a sudden went, warp. Wait a minute, I know they're on a different brand, but what the hell happened to Knox and Shotzi? They had beaten Tamina, Nobody Mina, and Natalya 3 times, and I was promised a title shot, and now I've got squit. I don't even know why I care, because WWE does this stuff all the time. And to be fair, this match was absolutely fine.
up.
Nicky Ash was basically murdered for a lot of this before Natalia went for the sharpshooter, but even though it happened right in front of her face, Natty didn't realise that Rhea Ripley had blind tagged herself in. So she creeped in like a burglar in the night, she hit the riptide and she got the pin. And I can only presume that Rhea Ripley and Nicky Ash are now the number one contenders. And wasn't that really easy? You just asked for a title shot and then you won. Good for you. Before we do move on as well, we had Tamina on the show, so we have to ask the question, Tamina, were you meaner than the last time we saw you? And she lost. That's not very mean. Pull it down, Tamina. Moist TV then happened backstage. I was like, are you kidding me? Have we got to the point now in WWE where we're so desperate to put a talk show on television and we can't have time to put it in the ring? We're just gonna have it behind the curtain. Just do anything else. His guest was Karrion Kross too, which made it even more surreal, because you had John Morrison, who had just turned babyface and doing all this weird comedy stuff, and Karrion just there in a suit like, I don't want to be here, I need to leave. I don't know why he talks like a robot, but that's just how it came across. This was all kind of like a YouTube skit. Karrion then said, I am going to eliminate you, which absolutely means kill. I had absolutely no idea what was going on, especially because we then went to the ring, we had this match, Karrion Kross just whipped Johnny Boy Morrison's ass down. I understand that this makes me a hypocrite now, because last week I was all like, oh man, if we are going to push Karrion Kross, he should be destroying fools. And I totally stand by that. I thought he looked pretty good here, but not at the expense of John Morrison, and absolutely not at the expense of John Morrison after we just turned him into a good guy. When you do that, you should strap the rocket ship to him so he can fly off to the moon, not lose to Mr. K, who still looks like a sex slave, in less than 2 minutes. It just makes Johnny look like an idiot for turning on The Miz. But yes, he passed out or tapped out to the cross jacket here. Don't really get where we're going with either of these two guys, hence why I gave it a down. Interview with Nia afterwards, and she disagreed with Charlotte and said she was going to win the match. So I was like, great, one of you is lying to me. How flubbin' mean. And now I'm going to surprise you. I really truly am. I understand this, but it's my show. I'll do whatever the hell you want. It was Nia Jax versus Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. And even though they had just fallen off a cliff last week, this week, I'm giving it up. And the sole reason is this. Was this one of the best things I'd ever seen? No. Was it basically just your average WWE match? Kinda. But the twist was we played off everything that we had done 7 days ago. So in the early going, it was almost as if Charlotte and Nia Jax were going to fall out again. But because they were working together, this didn't come across as your usual WWE match. And if I can dare say these words, which I can, it felt a little bit unique. And I could have done without all the stuff with Shayna Baszler, but I get it, we're finally gonna break that tag team up. Because straight away, she just got on the apron and went, yo, Nia, look over here. I don't think you can beat Charlotte ever. I think you suck. This is a bit like some awful dad on the touchline of their kid's football game going, do better, you absolute crap, or you're not gonna have any dinner. But yes, back in the ring, they were pulling each other's hair and they were slapping each other around to the point Charlotte was like, nah, man, I don't want any of this. So this was a quote-unquote worked shoot, which you knew was actually not that at all. But like I say, just try different things when you are communicating with one another, and sometimes I will be pleased. We also continue to tease the whole Baszler and Nia thing throughout all this, including when it came to the finish, Shayna Baszler just like, hey, look over here, Nia Jax, hey, Nia Jax, look at me, please do something, which allowed Nia to be distracted. Charlotte hit the natural selection from the top, which was kind of good, and she got the 1-2-3. I also kind of got this feeling that one of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler may also be moved to SmackDown, and we probably should do that, but hey, don't worry about that now. Bring down the board, distractions, it's very exciting. Rolls up to 97. So if you had September 2021 when WWE was going to get to 100, you win the grand prize, which is nothing. There was some fallout after this as well, in the sense that Alexa Bliss voodooed her way into the ring. And then when Charlotte said, what do you want? Alexa just pointed at the title. And I almost had a meltdown here because we have to stop doing this. Randy Orton just says, yo, brah, can I have a title shot? He gets one. Here, Alexa Bliss goes, hey girl, can I have a title shot? And she gets one. Can we please just put some story into the mix? Come up with anything, otherwise I'll do it. Can I have a title match, please? Look, I'm pointing at things, I don't care what it is. 24/7 Intercontinental US title, European Championship, bring it back. Just give me a belt, because I'm doing this with my stupid finger. And as always, I want to point out the fact that Alexa Bliss is doing great with this character, even if it isn't for me. But if you are going to give her magical powers, at least let her warp Charlotte Flair's brain or something. But no, just wiggly-waggly, down. Reggie then beat Tozawa in 45 seconds in a 24/7 title match. Now you'll be saying, wait a minute, if it's a 24/7 title match, why don't they just go with the usual rules of anytime, anywhere? And I asked myself, and the answer I came up with,
don't know.
What we really need to discuss here is that after Reg had won and a bunch of people went, oh, I'm not going to try and win the 24/7 title, if you can believe it, Cedric Alexander was in this mix, Shelton Benjamin was in this mix, Jackson Ryker was in this mix, why isn't he on the Star Trek Enterprise, but also, so was Jeff Hardy. I couldn't believe it. My face hit the floor. I was like, you have a bona fide Hall of Famer on your books and you put him into 24/7 running geek. Just shook my head, contemplated my own existence. Doesn't make any sense. Finally, I came up with a down. Drake Maverick also turned up at the end of this and just smiled. And if you want me to tell you why, I can't. I don't know what this was. Other than NXT's being turned into 6'2", 240 pounds, which Drake is not. So he's just been pinged back to Raw to once again fight for the 24/7 title. Doudrop then told her she wanted a rematch with Eva Marie. Why? Why would you want one? You absolutely destroyed her last week and you even did your own pinfall. Surely you should be moving on to somebody else. Surely you should be getting your finger and going, wha-pow, and then you'll get a title shot. She also had to say, it's not an evolution, it's an Eva delusion. And at that point, I thought about turning off Raw. I don't need to watch this anymore. I don't want to tie into my own gimmicks. But nobody talks like that. And if you did, you probably wouldn't have any friends. It was back to tag team turmoil. Raw, a really weird show. But that said, the first or fifth round, whatever the hell it was always going to be good because it was the New Day versus Mansoor and Ali. And these four are tremendous talents and it is getting it up. Woods and Kingston won after a Trouble in Paradise elbow drop combination, which actually did look pretty cool. And then it was AJ Styles and Omos taking on the New Day. And while I have seen that 78,942 times in the last week, again, it was a perfectly fine wrestling match up. Omos was doing his thing and hurling people around the ring, and that rhymes, so now I feel proud of myself. And I always see criticism towards this big guy, but if he just wants to be a big tree man that does big devastating moves, I am totally fine with this. Eventually, he did the same to Xavier Woods, and he just chucked him out the ring, and sadly, that meant Kingston walked into the Stars Clash 1-2-3, so even though the New Day had lasted around about 45 minutes, it was time for them to go home. Now, we absolutely should be doing more with all of these guys, but that kind of ties into the last round of tag team turmoil because, yes, MVP and Bobby Lashley had gotten themselves into it, so now it was Omos and AJ Styles taking on MVP and Bobby Lashley. Now, while I did have one very specific problem with this, actually, once again, it was a perfectly fine wrestling match with a cool bit between Bobby Lashley and Omos when everyone was like, oh my gosh, Bobby Lashley's a big guy, but Omos, he's an even bigger guy. What's gonna happen when these two collide? And I was doing the same. See, sometimes it's the simple stuff, so based on all of that, up. Riddle and Orton were watching all of this on from ringside because of course they were, and that caused some tete for tete and people were being chucked through announce tables, and there was just carnage, which eventually led to AJ Styles getting back in the ring, or at least going for the phenomenal forearm, missing, and Bobby Lashley hit him with a spear. So your number one contenders for the WWE Tag Team titles are Bobby Lashley and MVP, which means at some point we have to do RK-Bro versus Bobby Lashley and MVP, even though last week we did Bobby Lashley and MVP versus RK-Bro, and we just went through 32 matches to get it again. Yep. It also means that your number one contender for the WWE title is a tag team champion, your number one contender for the WWE tag team title is your WWE champion, and this just isn't casting your net wide enough. Now, I did enjoy it afterwards because Omos gave Bobby Lashley a tree slam. In the world of WWE, that should probably be enough to make him a brand new number one contender. And then Randy Orton snuck in for bam. He gave Lashley the RKO out of nowhere. So all of this was okay, but I think I've made my point when it comes to the higgledy-piggledy mess, which is now all of the title divisions. Because of that, well, I have to give it a down. I do want to make it clear that I have no problem with RK-Bro being the center point to all of this, but not when it just leads to rematch after rematch after rematch. Why, for example, couldn't we do Mansoor versus Bobby Lashley or Ali versus Bobby Lashley? I know, crazy. But if you tell me a good narrative and make me believe, I will buy into it. So Raw, as ever, was just this strange thing, and I wouldn't have divided the tag team turmoils up as I did. I'm going to be that guy, you're going to get mad, but there's the comments to tell me how much of a moron I am. It gets thumbs in the middle. They didn't finish it and go, oh, it's so great. But I didn't finish it and go, man, that was crap. It was kind of just there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.